Good morning. Thank you, Kurt, for leading us in those songs. They're perfect tie-ins with our lesson today. Everything that we've been doing and saying and singing today has been in order to please God. The prayers, just our attendance here today in many ways is pleasing to God if our attendance is for the right reason, to worship and praise Him. The songs that Kurt has picked out that we've sang together, the prayers that were offered, the communion that we shared together with each other and with our Lord. And that brings us to our lesson this morning, pleasing God. That should be our goal in everything we do. Every decision we make, every day, not just Sunday, but to be pleasing to God, our Creator, our Savior. Our scripture reading that Rader read this morning, very powerful scripture. I know they all are because they're from God. Amen. But this is a very powerful one. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's our goal. Or should be our goal, to please Him and to bring Him glory and honor, which is pleasing to Him. And it goes on to say, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There's a lot of the plan of salvation right in there. The idea that our first step that we have to do is to believe that there is a God. Believe that the Son of God was given as a sacrifice for our sins. And we have to believe, not believe that they're just acknowledge, oh, there's a God, but believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If we don't believe that, we're spinning our wheels. We're wasting our time here if we don't believe that there is a reward for us at the end of all this. Because everything we do is for that reward. And to be pleasing to God. Jesus said something very similar to this in John 8, verse 24, as He's teaching in the temple. He says, therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He. He who? He, Jesus? Of course they knew He was Jesus. They knew who His mother and father was. They knew that He was the carpenter's son. They knew that who He was. But if you don't believe that I am He, the Son of God, He, the Savior, He, the Messiah, you will die in your sins. And it's more than just a mental acceptance. More than just an acknowledgement that there is a God. More than just the belief that there is a Jesus. That belief has to accompany efforts. It has to have fruits that go along with it. And James will say it so well, said it so much better than we could. He says in James 2, starting in verse 18, he says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
Amen.
you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? To be pleasing to God, one of the things we have is faith. Because it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Paul would write in Colossians, the first chapter, something else that pleases God. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. This is something that I'd never really, I've read this verse I don't know how many times, and it really hit me recently. It pleased God to send his son. Not sending his son as a sacrifice, but that through his son, we could be reconciled back to the Father. That it took something like that for us to be, and if it took the Son of God, he was pleased to do it. If that meant reconciling us, his creation, back to him, it pleased God. Isaiah 53, one of the greatest examples of a messianic prophecy talking about Jesus. But in verses 10 and 11, we kind of see a focus of what pleased God. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many.
Amen.
For he shall bear their iniquities. God was willing to send his son, and it pleased him for the ultimate victory. When Jesus was baptized by John, in Matthew 3:17, it says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father was well pleased at Jesus being baptized. The obedience that he was showing toward God, the example he was laying for us, it pleased God. People say, oh, I wish I could have been in the first century. I don't want to hear, I got enough voices in my head as it is. I don't want to hear voices coming out of the sky, especially that of God. I'm much happier to live today and be able to read the whole story. But could you imagine being a witness to this? And Jesus is baptized by John the Baptizer, and then this voice comes out of heaven, and it says, this is my beloved son. And it still didn't sink in with some of them. And he says, in whom I am well pleased. Almost the same thing is recorded in Matthew 17 at the account of the transfiguration, where Elijah and Moses and Jesus are talking on the mountain, and Peter, James, and John are witnessing this. And Peter's, you know, Peter's saying, we will build tabernacles for all of them. You know, he's and it says in verse 5, while he was still speaking, talking about Peter, you know, of course it's Peter talking and God has to interrupt him. But while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. You listen to him. He is one that I'm pleased with. He's my son. You listen to him. And yet some people still didn't. Some people didn't. Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And we know that the rains came and the man who built his house on the sand was washed away. But Jesus distinguishes, it's not just hearing the words. He who hears these sayings of mine and does them. That's the big, the big difference. Kind of like going back to James, you know, faith without works is dead. Hearing without doing them is dead. Amen. Paul would write to the Philippians, he says, and he's writing this from jail, and I find it so interesting. He says, indeed, I have all and abound. That's a whole study in and of itself. He's sitting there, you know, in captivity, and he's saying, I have everything I need and abound. And I gripe on any given Tuesday about something not going well. And yet Paul is sitting in prison and saying how pleased and content he is. And he goes on to say, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Paul was comforted by fellow Christians who had gathered together funds and gifts and sent them to Paul. And Paul, I'm so satisfied, thank you. And that sacrifice that you gave, it's not just to me, it is a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God the Father. Paul would also write that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord. Not just do an action once in a while, but you live it. You walk that route. Worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, I read that before. I'm good. Increasing. We have to study the Bible. It fortifies us. It builds our faith. It builds our ability to serve. We have to increase in the knowledge of God. And when we walk worthy and build that knowledge, we're pleasing to God. He would write just two chapters later, Paul would, kids, how many kids do we have in here? Well, I see a number of kids. I see a number of kids. This is for you guys, okay? Colossians 3, verse 20. Paying attention, Maya? Paying attention? Okay, Colossians 3:20. This is something you guys can look up. Children, obey your parents in all things. Why? One, so you don't get a spanking. Two, the big thing, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. When you are a good child and obey your parents, you are pleasing to God. You're giving service to God. Malia, wake up. You obey mom, okay? It's important that just as we have to be pleasing to the Father, it's your way of being pleasing to God. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, therefore, we make it our aim, kind of going back to what we talked about at first, our whole aim is to be pleasing to God. Amen. We make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In the end, we want to be well-pleasing to him because we will have to stand before judgment. And we definitely want that one to go in our favor. Paul would write in Philippians, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. When we do our works for God, it brings pleasure to him. We're all here today, hopefully, to be pleasing to God. Some of the scriptures we looked at. And you've got the outline you can take with you and maybe look over the verses later this week, that us having faith is pleasing to God. It pleases God for us to be reconciled. We've been separated by God through sin. And he willingly sent his son to reconcile us back to him. Jesus was pleasing to God through his obedience, through his teachings, through his whole purpose. Our sacrifices and our service to each other is pleasing to God. Us having a walk worthy of the gospel and that of being a Christian is pleasing to God. And when children obey their parents, it is pleasing to God. I hope that us being here today together has been a sweet smelling aroma to God, pleasing him and bringing him glory and honor. If you need to respond to the invitation, the lesson is yours. Kurt's going to be singing the invitation in just a moment. If you need to respond, please come forward. Well, Kurt leads us. Let's stand and sing.